GLC presents brought to you by the donations of our faithful partners.
They have no leadership. Now, I'm going to show you some maps. Okay? We talked about the locusts. So as you see on your screen, you're going to see the maps. I don't have time to really give you all of the maps from the first kingdoms. That I got this from my older teaching. But I want you to notice from the year 629, when Islam was created, Muhammad, which I believe is a false prophet. Now, to me, it's very intriguing. If you look at that map, everybody believes that the Sinai Peninsula, that's where Mount Sinai was. Mm-hmm. Do you know that was not the place? It was actually where Media is. And remember, that's the place where Yahweh, his presence rested, and there was an altar dedicated to him in the land where is now an Islamic country, and it's called Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. What a coincidence that the two places, Jerusalem and Saudi Arabia, which used to be known as Midian, is the two places where the presence of Yahweh have been revealed to the earth, and where there was an altar built. So therefore, any altar that is built, that means that whole land is holy. So what a coincidence that Islam, the two most holy places they have, is near the land where there once was an altar for Yahweh, and also in Jerusalem where the temple was, and the Shekhinah of Yahweh dwelt. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no coincidence. Why is it that originated from there? To defile what was once holy,
mm-hmm.
because it's the enemy, it's the seed of the mm-hmm. serpent that's trying to do this. Mm-hmm. Now watch this. Go back to the screen if you can. I'm going to see no kingdom, as you see on your screen. This is the last remnant of the Roman Empire. And I didn't show you from the Egyptian kingdom all the way through all the kingdoms. But no kingdom, only the Persians and the Greeks really conquered all the way up to, like, where you see the rivers there by India, where you see modern-day Kashmir and India.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The whole issue with Kashmir and India is basically Islamic issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So what's interesting is no kingdom ever conquered far more than that. And all of Africa, no, that never happened. A great kingdom in the Bible, according to Scripture, is the kingdom who conquers Israel and Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
According to the standards of Yahweh, the kingdom, a good noteworthy kingdom, is the one that conquers Israel. United States have never conquered Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So United States is a refuge.
Mm-hmm.
But according to God's standards of what a kingdom is, you have to conquer Jerusalem. Okay? So notice how they've grown. Watch this. 629, Islam was established by Muhammad. 656, remember the locusts? Okay? And remember, the locusts is supposed to kill the people, not the lands,
mm-hmm.
not the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no other nation right now, no other religion who cuts the heads of people.
That's right.
And that's a clue, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are going to be many martyrs who are going to be beheaded.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no other religion right now who exercises that type of judgment other than Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So watch this. In the year 656, from 629 to 656, 751, 1,000, 1,280. Isn't that interesting? See how they're growing? 1,330. Now, they're a different kingdom, but they're all Muslims. Okay?
Oh, wow.
1,566. Remember, no kingdom. Not the Greeks, not the Medes, mm-hmm. not the Persians, not the Romans, not the Egyptians ever conquered that much land. 1850. Now, do you know the prophecy that says that the beast was wounded? Remember, the prophecy mm-hmm. is, there's a duality mm-hmm. in prophecy. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, what you see in the map right now is the wounded beast in 1920 after the Ottoman Empire fell, which Turkey was the stronghold, which used to be the center of the Roman Empire,
mm-hmm.
which used to be called Constantinople.
Mm-hmm.
What a lot of people don't understand, and their focus is on the revived Roman Empire, and they actually have right. The Roman Empire had two legs, the west leg of the Roman Empire and the eastern leg of the Roman Empire, and the last remnant of the Roman Empire was what Turkey is and Greece. Rome wasn't even involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two legs of the Roman Empire. So the Ottoman Empire is the seven churches.
You were talking about Daniel and the two legs, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So what is interesting is that you have the seven churches that were written in the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Where were those churches back then? Where is modern-day Turkey?
Mm-hmm.
They're Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as you see in your map right now, In 1920, I believe, this is when the beast was wounded. And then in 1962, it revived.
Hmm.
And then in 1991, it kept going. Now, remember, I'm only showing you a map, not including Indonesia and Asia,
right,
which there are 700 million Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. They don't necessarily have to be Arabs.
Right.
Okay, there's 32 million in Europe. I just read on the news, on a piece of paper from the internet, that they declare war on Great Britain, in the streets of Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
They're speaking against the Queen, they're speaking mm-hmm. against the Prime Minister.
Oh, yes.
That's anarchy and that's treason.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom of speech is one thing, but when you have a religion who are saying, we will kick you out of your government and we will declare Allah the sovereignty of this nation, that is beyond freedom of religion.
Yes, it is.
That is treason.
Yes, it is.
So, in my opinion, you should put them all on the boat, send them back home. Put them in the middle of Saudi Arabia. That's very simple. But they tell you in their speeches. By the way, I'm not becoming very famous by doing this. You know, but I believe that Yahweh Sevaoth sent angels around his servants.
That's right.
You know, so I'm not, you know, what should I be afraid? I got the creator of the universe defending me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's right.
So, in my opinion, this is one of the evidence that we have that I believe Islam is the beast. But it still remains to be seen, but the evidence is there. Let me give you another clue.
Yes.
Judges chapter 8, verse 21. Then Silva and Samuna, remember those two guys
mm-hmm.
that I told you earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Said, rise thou and fall upon us, for the man is, so is his strength. This is Gideon talking. And Gideon arose and slew Silva and Samuna and took away the ornaments that were on their camel's neck. Huge clue. Okay? The word ornament there is in Hebrew, saharon. It's from the Strong's 07720, from the same as 5469, a round pendant for the neck, ornament, round tire like the moon.
Mm.
Now, the Amalekites and the Midianites that are fighting against Gideon in a valley, okay,
mm-hmm.
who are descendants of Esau
mm-hmm.
and Ishmael,
mm-hmm.
they have the sign of the moon in the camel's neck.
Mm-hmm.
What is the symbol of Islam?
The moon.
And who is their god?
Moon.
The moon god.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's already in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read it in English, it says ornaments.
Mm-hmm.
So people really don't bother to go back in the Hebrew
right.
and look it up.
Right.
This is what we try to do in the Hebrew Roots movement.
Mm-hmm.
See, all I'm trying to do is bring you back and give you some insight about how to study the scriptures in a Hebraic understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm Puerto Rican. I was born in Puerto Rico. I learned English when I was 14 years old. Okay, I grew up in California. But how can I study the scriptures from a Spanish, American understanding, from two different cultures, Spanish and American, trying to understand a Hebrew Messiah
uh-huh.
with a Hebrew context, idiomatic expressions,
mm-hmm.
culture? I don't have a chance. So I have to change my perception and my perspective of the Hebraic
mm-hmm.
from the Greco-Roman understanding of Scripture.
Right.
And return to the root to
That's
know
right.
the context of what's happening. It's like me sending you a letter and we have issues. We have a problem here, right? We have a problem. And then my brother here, he takes the same letter that I wrote you that we have a problem, but he doesn't know the problem. He doesn't know the question. He only gets the answer by reading the letter. But he decides to only read one half in the middle of the letter.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't read the introduction or the end.
Mm-hmm.
And now he applies that letter to himself when it was never written for him.
Very good.
Would you have an opportunity to really understand the scope of the problem
uh-uh.
that is happening in that letter?
Uh-uh.
It doesn't make any sense, right?
Uh-uh.
It's like if you go to college, I try you guys then going to school. Put this to the test. When you get a book report, write the book report. Just take only one chapter in the middle of the book, or start reading from the end. And read the last chapter at the end and write the book report.
Mm-hmm.
See if you're really going to understand the whole characters and the whole context and everything. You're not going to get a good grade, are you?
Probably
no.
not.
So how can we study the Word of God in a way that we would never do in a secular world?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're saying go back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
John told you in the beginning, Bereshit, go back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 46 tells you. God has declared, Yahweh declared the end from the beginning. Reshit, go back to the beginning. You know, 2 John and 3 John says, this commandment I give to you from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Reshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. This is not a new commandment. It's I give it from the beginning. Go mm-hmm. back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that's what we try to do. And I hope that I've done a good job proving to all of you that we can see what is happening in front of us in the news if we just go back to the Torah of Yahweh. Mm-hmm. It's there. In the story of Moses, in the story of Jacob, in the story of Joshua, in the story of Gideon, in the story of Amalek, in the story of David, and Saul. Yahweh is desperately looking for people who are willing to believe His word and who are willing to go back and search it out so we don't get caught with our pants down, basically. Mm-hmm. And I hate to use that expression on TV, but we got to be honest, don't you think? Mm-hmm. And now a lot of people have to reevaluate their theology after September 11, didn't they?
They better.
Right. But they would have never even considered this before September 11 of 2001.
Probably not.
But most of them have forgot what September the 11th was.
Well, remember that Christianity and a lot of people started going to churches by huge numbers after September 11th. They don't go back.
For a short time.
Didn't they start calling upon the name of the Lord after September 11th? Mm-hmm. Isn't that exactly what the prophecy is? Mm-hmm. Didn't we fulfill that? But we forgot. So guess what? Every time Israel disobeys Torah and we disobey and we sin against Yahweh, You raise us up an adversary so we can cry unto the name of Yahweh, so we can bring forth our Redeemer, so He can declare Himself glorious and you know who He is. Okay, now let me go here real quick and show you about who Agag is. A lot of people look at Gog and Magog, and I'm sorry that you might not be able to read it there. I hope you do. But Gog and Magog. Now, a lot of people, they used to say is the USSR, right? The USSR was basically Gog Magog. But after 1989, that kind of broke up. A lot of really books have to be rewritten. Mm-hmm. They were half right. A lot of the southern states of USSR are Muslim countries.
Mm-hmm, they are.
Chechnya, some of the mm-hmm. other, they have problems mm-hmm. with, right? Mm-hmm. But in the Bible, it's interesting. In Septuagint, Gog, according to Septuagint, is Agag, a generic term used for the kings of Amalek. Any war against the children of Israel meant to annihilate them. Has to involve Amalek.
Uh-huh.
You see how important that is? Uh-huh. It says in Numbers chapter 24, verse 7 says, He poured the water out of his bucket, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Now, the Septuagint takes the same verse and reads it this way. For some of you, the Septuagint is the Greek version of the Hebrew scriptures. Mm-hmm. It says, There shall come a man out of his seed, and he shall rule over many nations, and the kingdom of Gog shall be exalted, and his kingdom shall be increased. But wait a minute. If Gog basically comes from Agag, and Agag was the enemy of Saul, and he was an Amalekite, and Haman, from the story of Esther, is an Amalekite too, that means that the Messiah, or the anti-Messiah, has to be a descendant of Amalek too. Mm-hmm. That's what the prophecy says. Mm-hmm. And that means that Yeshua, being a true king and a true Mashiach, he has to wage war against the descendants of Amalek for him to be considered the true Messiah of Israel. Mm-hmm. So it cannot be Europe. Mm-hmm. It could be the European Muslims. Does this make sense to you?
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it has to be the same people because mm-hmm. Yahweh doesn't change.
Right.
Now, what's interesting is the word Gog, if you go back to the slide, uses not only the same consonants, but has the same meaning as Agag, namely roof or what the wish covers. So we have the evidence of proving a lot of these things. Now, where are they going to wage battle? Keep the screen up, please. Judges 6:33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. Wait a minute. Isn't that exactly the same place that we know as Megiddo?
Yes,
Armageddon?
It is. Yes, it is.
The Valley of Jezreel? Mm-hmm. So that's Yeshua versus the seed of the serpent? Oh, the seed that is not the blessed mm-hmm. one? Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
So in the story of Gideon, we have outlined prophetically what's going to happen in the end times.
Wow.
Gideon means warrior. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. We have the Amalekites and the Midianites, who have been a presence against Israel for the last 3,500 years when they came out of Egypt. And before that, through Esau. Okay? They're going to fight in a valley. And what a coincidence that the same valley they fought into is the same one, the valley of Jezreel, that Mashiach will fight against the enemy nations. And Islam is composed of all the nations, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the East. I mean, it's only so much that we can present information. Then it's a circumcision of the heart.
Yeah.
That's why I tell people, don't believe anything I say. Go look it up. Because for it's sure. not up to me to convince you. I'm not here to convince you. You know, my job is to proclaim the word of Yahweh and to let his words penetrate through your heart and then be circumcised in your heart. I got a question to ask you. What is so wrong with changing what we thought?
Really?
Who cares if it were wrong? Let's come back.
Especially if it's going to be so important in these last days that it could literally save our lives.
Right? But you see, what happens is we have this thing in Torah.
Tradition.
Tradition. Exactly, the movie. Traditions. And see, as a Torah teacher, the Torah is cyclical. Cycles. We start over again. It never ends. Do you know that every week when we do a Torah portion and we connect it with a portion of the prophets, connect it with a portion of Brit HaRashah, do you know that every week something in your life is a reflection of what you're reading?
It's amazing.
Isn't it? I mean, every week you have to circumcise your heart. Yahweh is trying to reveal something in your heart, in your mind, in your lifestyle, in your walk, in your relationship with all the people that we need to work on so we can come into holiness. Do you know the word kadosh, the word holiness? When it's in reference to Yahweh, it's spelled differently than when it's in reference to man in Hebrew. Because the teaching is that you can never attain to Yahweh's holiness. He's too perfect, too pure.
Right.
But if you obey his commandments, he separates you. That's what the word called kadosh, separated, means. It means separated for him as the bride. Okay, so because he understands that our inclinations will never allow us to be perfect in his perfect holiness. So he says, if you do this, if you do this, if you keep the feast of Yahweh, Leviticus 23, if you follow the commandments, if you follow the sign of the covenant, the Shabbat, you know, you're holy unto me. You separated as the bride. What is wrong with being the separated bride of the Messiah?
Really?
You know? People have issues because sometimes it goes against the things we were taught. Sometimes it's easier for us to call Yahweh and said, we do not want to hear you right now, because if I hear you, what you write in your word, I have to call my pastor a liar, my mom a liar, my grandfather a liar, and I confront that every time. You mean my pastor was wrong? I can't tell you he was wrong. Was he following up what the Bible says? Is he lining up with Scripture? If he's not lining up with Scripture, then I have to follow Yahweh.
That's right.
He is my authority. He is my sovereignty in my life.
That's right.
Hineni Adonai, he am I. You know, I am his servant. You know, so that's my premise on this. So Amos 1:11, I'm almost done. I appreciate your time. I hope this has been enlightening to you.
Oh, it is.
You know, says, thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of Edom, remember Edom is Esau, and Amalek is the grandson of Esau, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword and cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. Isn't that what Islam is doing right now?
Yes.
They hate the Jews. They hate all of Israel. They hate the Christians. So how can Allah be the same God of creation? Impossible.
Right.
Because then he'd be killing his own people. You know, you're not going to pass that one by me.
Well, he doesn't mind killing his own people.
Right. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
It is incredible. Who destroyed the temple in 70 AD? The Romans? Yeah. The Roman legions were the Amalekites, the Midianites, and the Ishmaelites. Remember, the Roman Empire, they would conquer the land, right? But then they would gather the people to fight for them. You know Hitler did this?
Yes.
The Mufti of Jerusalem. Do you guys know who the Mufti of Jerusalem was? You know, I'm pretty sure you're laughing. You know who he is.
Yes.
I just wrote my newsletter on it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I didn't know. You see? See, there's two witnesses. This is happening all over the world.
Yes, it is.
Now, what's interesting is this guy was a general of Nazi Germany. He raised up an army of Muslims to fight against Germany to kill the Jews. Wait a minute. The Romans did the same thing. The Romans, they will conquer Israel and they will conquer the lands, and then they will gather the people from there and they pledge allegiance. And now the legions, the soldiers were Amalekites, Midianites, and Ishmaelites, but the captains and all that were the Romans. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
They're the ones that destroyed the temple. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that have there the abomination of desolation, which is the mosque. Mm-hmm. And where did they put it? Where the old temple used to be.
Yes.
According to the rabbis, Esau comes from Rome. So who was in control of that of Israel in the time of Messiah? Who was the king? Herod, an Edomite. And who was in control of the land of Israel? Rome. That is Edom. Mm-hmm. Yeshua came at the right time to reestablish his kingdom.
Wow.
Now listen to what the rabbis are saying. This is the Targum, which is the Aramaic commentary. Okay? Says the timing of Amalek's demise. This is huge. The timing of Amalek's demise, according to the Targum of Jonathan ben Uzziel. By the way, he was a contemporary of Paul.
Okay.
He was raised to the field of Gamaliel too.
Okay.
This guy's pretty good. Uh-huh. Explains that the war against Amalek will only end when Mashiach comes and ushers the Messianic age. This was written a long time ago.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Uh-huh.
So what we need to understand is that we have been confronted. By the way, you know that the sign of the beast, the mark of the beast, is in front of the news every night, and we don't even see it. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have in their forehead bandanas they put in there.
Mm-hmm.
The name of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what John was writing in John 1:1 in the book of Revelation 666. The form of the letters have a meaning in Arabic. It's amazing. Rome sits on seven hills, right? But the Bible says in Revelation that woman sits on seven mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Mecca sits on seven mountains?
No, I didn't know that.
And seven hills?
No.
Do you know, and I mentioned this because I still have a little time, do you know that it says that the word mark, they will have the mark of the beast, and everybody focuses on the 666 number?
Mm-hmm.
I got news for you. Do you have a credit card, ATM card, social security number? You've already been marked for a long time.
Oh, yes.
So we have to reconsider let me just propose something else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Do you know the word mark in Greek means as a badge of servitude in Greek? It means stamp of etching.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Greek, you go and look it up, it says a badge of servitude.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the Islamic religions, they raise up their right arm, like the Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Walid Shubat and some other people in some pictures that I have, they do have a mark. They have the mark, like a bandana around their right arm, that pledge allegiance to Allah.
Hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the word number? And it says, here's wisdom. Those who know the number of the beast and the number of his name is that of a man. Uh-huh. And the number is 666. The word number means group in Greek.
Okay.
Or multitude.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at a number, but in reality it's a group or multitude.
Mm-hmm.
That has the badge of servitude and is in the name of Allah.
Wow.
So I'm just trying to entice you to invite me back someday so I can show you that one.
Oh, wow.
There's so many things we are trying to find out, and it's exciting times we're living in.
Uh-huh.
Think about this. Yahweh is choosing you in these last days, humble people.
That's right.
I have no credentials.
That's right.
I've never graduated from any theological school. I studied on my own 6 hours a day for the last 8-9 years. Asking the Creator to give me an opportunity to stand in the gap, to stand on as a watchman on the wall, literally crying and asking, begging Him for an opportunity, because I should have been dead 10 years ago, and He forgave me, and He restored me, and He gave me an opportunity. I mean, think about this. Out of 6 billion people on the earth, He's choosing us to reveal the secrets so we can be prepared.
That's right.
I mean, who is man that He should be so mindful
Amen.
Of us? I mean, if you think about that for a minute, it will only come to the realization that we need to go back and repent and hear it. If you call upon His name, He will forgive us.
Amen.
To me, that's very, I'm in awe of Him every day.
Absolutely.
Because when I share this and I see how you react to it and people react to it and they get all excited about the word, if I could only entice you to come back to His Torah, just take a second look. So what if everything we learned wasn't exactly how we thought? Who cares?
Do you have any idea where all you were speaking tonight?
I'm sorry?
Where this program was going. Do you have any idea?
They kind of told me, but I really don't know.
Have you got the June? If they can pull this up pretty easy, we'll show you. Because I think you'll probably be surprised where you were.
Wow.
We're speaking to.
Wow.
You recognize that? See those circles?
Yes, sir.
Well, those are four satellites that you're speaking over right now.
Wow. Getting goosebumps.
And,
you know, it's...
You notice it covers the Islamic country.
Yes, sir.
And...
They're hearing.
Yeah.
And hearing. Many of them have hungry hearts.
Amen.
Yeah.
And they are...
They want to know.
Yeshua
they want
is
the truth.
Amen.
Presenting himself to them
Amen.
In many ways. And,
we're not trying to judge them.
No. He's calling them to come partake
right.
of his life.
Amen. They are from the seed of Abraham.
Yes, they
right.
are.
Right.
So,
yes, they
you know,
are.
It's like I say, you know, I don't have to, I don't agree with their theology and their dogma.
Mm-mm.
I have issues with the rabbinical Judaism as a religion, as a dogma.
Mm-hmm.
I love my Jewish brother. I'm Jewish.
Yeah.
I'm a Sephardic Jew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I have issues with the dogma and the religion.
Yes.
But I love the rabbis and I learn a lot from the rabbis and I learn a lot from their commentaries.
Yes.
And I go back to the Hebrew. But the structure and the dogma I have issues with.
Yes. Yes.
The same thing with Islam. I hate the system because they're not worshiping Yahweh and they're blaspheming against him.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the people, and if they're willing to come out of that system, we will welcome them with open arms.
Yes.
Come back to Israel. Repent. Be part of our people.
Yes.
I don't see a problem with that.
Amen.
You have a lot of teachings available, don't you?
Yes, ma'am. You can go to Wisdom and Torah, wisdomandtorah.com. And there you're going to be able to see some of the teachings that I have. You can also send me an email, wisdomandtorah@yahoo.com. And I have a lot of the teachings and like, for example, the 144,000 in the Song of Moses, the Aleph Tav right there.
Uh-huh.
The Aleph Tav is about the Alpha and Omega.
Yeah.
You know, and I go through scripture. Do you know that's found 611 times standing by itself in the Hebrew text? It's over 6,000 times in the grammatical Hebrew, but standing by itself 611 times. Do you know that the numerical value of the word Torah, which means instruction, is 611?
Really?
So there you see the Aleph Tav, which is the Alpha and Omega in Hebrew. Who's the Word?
The Word.
And Yeshua is the living Word.
Uh-huh.
And the Torah is the Word given on Mount Sinai.
Uh-huh.
See the connection?
Oh, yes, I do.
So the Aleph Tav, and then the second CD of that is the Wisdom and Bereshit.
Uh-huh.
Genesis, in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And I found over 25 words that you can compose basically on those six letters in the first word of your Bible that gives you the whole plan of restoration.
Wow.
Everything is there.
Oh,
truly, he
goodness.
Has declared the end from the beginning,
yes.
the first word.
Hope you do come back.
And well, when you tell me when I need to come back and I'll come back.
Boy, it's been exciting to have you. And thank you, Archie,
for sending him this way.
Order your copy today from the GLC Bookstore by calling the number on your screen. Please include the program number when ordering.